morning and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
Please take your Bible this morning and turn with me to the 63rd Psalm, Psalm chapter 63. We began a new series this morning. So we began a new year. Last week we had our World Missions emphasis, and today I want to begin a new series entitled Better Than, Better Than. I know for you and for me and for anyone that's ever lived, we realize early on in life that if we're not careful, we will consume ourselves seeking for the meaning and the purpose of life. As a matter of fact, someone has said that life is commonly regarded as man's chief treasure. Because of that, we often are so consumed with life that we search for life more than we search for God. And as a result, we find in life no meaning, no purpose, no fulfillment. I want us to read Psalm 63 this morning, which will be our text for today, where the psalmist will say that God's loving kindness is better than life. Psalm 63, verse 1 says this, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. To see your power and to see your glory as I have seen you in the sanctuary. And because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus will I bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and with fatness. And my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My soul follows hard after you. Thy right hand upholds me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But this king or the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. God's loving kindness, the psalmist said in verse 3, is better than life. If I were to ask you this morning, what are you searching for? What are you longing for today? We would have a variety of answers that would be given to us. As I think about this thought of searching and searching for life, a little cute story I read, I found it cute. I hope you'll find it cute this morning. I read of a business executive who didn't show up for work one morning, and he was always there, the earliest and the first at the office. But that morning he didn't show up, and so his business partner picked up the phone and called his cell phone. And on the other end of the phone, he heard this little voice that said, hello. He recognized it to be the executive's son, 5-year-old son. And he said to him, he said, son, is your daddy home? Yes. Can I speak to him? No. Well, son, is your mommy home? Yes. Well, can I speak to her? No. And then the man saying to the little boy said, Don't I hear voices? Is that your mommy and daddy's voices? Yes. Who are they talking to? The policeman. The policeman? What is the policeman doing there? He says, they're talking about the helicopter. The helicopter? What is a helicopter there for? He said, I heard them say they're getting ready to start the search. And the voice said, well, who are they searching for? And the little boy giggled real loud and said, me. If you have 5-year-old kids, you know the meaning of that story way too well. especially every mom that's here. It is amazing how lost we can be in a world full of people. It's amazing how we can get consumed with life and forget about God, the meaning of life. I put sermon notes at both welcome centers this morning and hope to have those there each week for you. And I mentioned two foundational truths as we began this morning's message. I said this. I repeated what the Bible says about life. Job said, life is hard. Matter of fact, he put it this way. He said, man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We often only read those verses at a funeral or something. But if I ask you this morning, if your life is full of trouble, what would you say? Now, you didn't say that very hearty. If you were being very honest, you'd shout amen. Because life is hard. Life is hard. There are things that come our way that interfere with what we think is meaningful in life, and we struggle to find the meaning of life. We realize that in the midst of the hardness of life, that unless we find God, and it takes different things for different people to come to that point, unless we connect with God, that we will never, ever understand the circumstances around us or the meaning or the purpose of life and how to find meaning in life, and that meaning being in God. This morning, as we turn to the 63rd Psalm, we find that the psalmist has come to a point in his life where he is in the wilderness of Judah. Most of those who are theologians tell us at this time they believe that David is running from his son Absalom. Absalom, who's rebelled against his own father. Absalom, who desires to be king rather than his own father. And now David is on the run. He finds himself in the wilderness of Judah. And he finds himself thirsty and longing. His flesh is longing for necessary things to sustain him. And in the midst of that, he realizes that his only hope is in God. And I hope this morning that of all the things that you will hear said this morning is this, that you will remember is this. We need to understand that the only place we really can understand the meaning of life and the love of God being better than life is when we have the experiences that David has. And what I refer to that is as when we have wilderness experiences. Have you ever had a wilderness experience? The reason I ask that question is, it is in the wilderness experience where we learn or find answers to questions that we've never even asked before. Because we're faced with circumstances that we've never been faced with before. And while we are in the wilderness, if you do a study of the Bible and you look at the times where God revealed himself to people in the wilderness, you will find that it was always so that those people could experience the love of God in an unusual way. If you read about Hagar, remember the handmaid of Abram? After she had given birth to a son because Abram and Sarah couldn't understand God's plan and they went outside of God's plan. After that, the Bible says Sarah was not happy that Abram had made the choice and she did no longer wanted to see Hagar's face and she pushed her into the wilderness. She made her a castaway. If you read that story, you will find that in that wilderness, Hagar meets God. And God reveals himself to her. Remember Moses in the Bible? Moses, who seemed to have everything going his way, born and then put in that basket, but then taken into Pharaoh's household. And then after all of those experiences where he gets into trouble and he has to run from Pharaoh, it's in the wilderness that Moses learns about God. There in that burning bush experience, Elijah, who's running from Ahab and Jezebel, if you read about him, you will find that it's when he's in that wilderness cave that he finds out that in the wilderness, there's a God who is greater than life. And this morning, I want you to know you may have life good right now. And if you're having life good, you ought to praise God for that because I can promise you there's a wilderness experience around the corner for you. We will have them in life. There are many of them that come our ways. And now, like David, who finds himself in the wilderness of Judah, David realizes that the love of God is better than life itself. That when we are going through those wilderness experiences, and by the way, let me just say this, it shouldn't take a wilderness experience, but doesn't it usually take that for us to realize the goodness of God? Because when life is good, I don't know about you, but when life is good, it's easy for me to forget that there's a God, right? I tend to think that I'm doing pretty good by myself. I'm making it all right by myself. I'm taking good care of my family. Everything's going well with the business. Things are good at work. You know, the car is running great and the kids are behaving great. But let that flip. Let that child become wayward. Let everything start breaking down. Let life get hectic. Let there be questions you don't have answers for. Where do you turn then? I asked the question in our notes. When you're having that wilderness experience, to whom or to what do you look? The psalmist encourages us to look to God because the psalmist understands that God's loving kindness is greater than life. Imagine this King David who's had to leave his throne. This King David who's had to leave prosperity and wealth and the palace. He no longer is able to be in the sanctuary. He's left all of that, and in the midst of that, he declares this statement, but listen to me. In the midst of leaving all of that in the wilderness, he says, God, your loving kindness is better than life. And what he's declaring is this, better than prosperity is the love of God. Better than being comfortable is the love of God. Better than having it all is the love of God. And this David declares that to us. How can he say such things? I mean, if you try to describe to a world today in which we live that is so consumed with stuff, with wealth, health, and prosperity, is that where you live? Do you find that's what people are seeking after? They want all of those things. And you say to them, if God were to take all of that away from me, I would still praise him because his loving kindness is better than life. And they look at you and say, you are a dum-dum. You're not very intelligent. How can you say such a thing like that? Well, the psalmist helps us. And so let me turn to the scripture and see that the psalmist tells us two things about God's loving kindness that reminds us that his love in our life, us being able to experience him on a day-to-day basis, regardless of the circumstances, we will find that his loving kindness is better than life. There are two things the psalmist says, and I will give them to you quickly. First of all, he says, when I understand the goodness of God, the loving kindness of God, I realize that that love has the ability to sustain me. In verse 1 and 2, the psalmist in this wilderness experience, he uses this language. He says, Lord, my soul thirsts for you. Right now, I'm very thirsty. I don't know if you know it or not, but there are times when the devil wants to attack the preacher and he's trying to preach. Only preachers understand this. And for some reason, Satan doesn't want the audience, the hearers, to hear what is being said. And right now, I'm very thirsty. I'd love to have a big glass of water, and I don't even like water. My family would tell you that. But have you ever been at that point where you thought you were dying of thirst? The psalmist has found himself in the wilderness, and he's thirsty. And he says, but Lord, instead of water, my soul thirsts for you. It's not the flesh, although the flesh is longing, my flesh longs for you. God, if I'm going to make it out of this, and if I'm going to make it through this, a cold glass of water is not enough, and food for the belly is not enough. God, you have to be the one to sustain me. Have you ever been there where you didn't know if you were going to make it, and yet all of a sudden you realize that there is a God who is bigger than life. There is a God who is better than life. And God, by his Holy Spirit, reminds you of his loving kindness, and you find within yourself the faith and the courage to say, God, because of you, life will go on. You will sustain me. I have been there, and I think all of us have at some point or another in life. And this morning, the psalmist reminds us that it is the loving kindness of God that can sustain us. The psalmist mentions the sanctuary. He goes back to those good days when he was able to go to the temple and worship God and experience God with others, but he's not at the sanctuary any longer. But he remembers that, and it takes him back to that experience of having the love of God filling his heart and filling his life. I want to encourage us as we begin a new year that this year, as you pursue life, that instead of life, that you would pursue the loving kindness of God even more than life. Because if you're going to make it through 2018, it's going to take the loving kindness of God to sustain you and to sustain me. So he says, your loving kindness sustains me, but it does more than that. God's loving kindness, he says, satisfies. It satisfies me. Verses 3 through 11, this series of verses reminds us of how satisfying God's loving kindness really is. He gives us reason to bless the Lord. He says in verse 4, thus will I bless you while I live. God, my goal in life is going to be a blessing to you. You've heard me often the last year or so use the phrase, God, instead of asking you to bless us, let us be a blessing to you. God, I want to be a blessing. I want to bless you. As I live, the psalmist says, my goal in life is not to acquire, it's not to achieve, although all of those things are part of life, sustaining and taking care of families. But my goal in life, God, is singular, and that is to bless you. To bless you. I was speaking a moment ago, and I hope I don't get in too much trouble, but it's good to have Tim Walberg with us today. We were talking about politics. That's a bad subject these days. I'm so glad I live in Monroe and not in Washington, aren't you? And I was joking with him. We were laughing. I said, every day when I pray, there are days sometimes when I pray, God, it is hard to be a preacher today, but I sure am glad I'm not a politician. Because that climate is tough. And I appreciated his response to me. He says, I have to be reminded that I serve an audience of one. The psalmist realized that if he was going to find meaning and purpose in what we call life, if life is the treasure of men, that treasure needs to be overcome by the presence of a holy, righteous God who directs and who loves and who cares. He doesn't take the problems away. He never said he would. But he promised that in the midst of those issues of life, he would be with us and his loving kindness would be better than life itself. The psalmist said, your love satisfies me. Because of that satisfaction, I will bless you while I live. Now, I want to ask you a question. How do people know if you and I are really in love with our Lord? How do they know if our goal in life is to bless him? You see, when we really fall in love with God to the degree that he is our life, he consumes us. That kind of a love always requires a response. As a matter of fact, it demands a response, and it's a natural response. It's not something that is hard to do. I know the people that have understood and experienced the loving kindness of God when I meet them. I know them. How do I know them? The same way the psalmist expressed it. The psalmist says, because I understand your loving kindness is better than lives, he says, I'm going to respond. And here's what he said. First of all, my lips will praise you in verse 3. My lips are going to praise you. He says, I believe in verse 5 again, my mouth will praise you. What comes out of your mouth on a day-to-day basis? Oh, some of you said, I wish you hadn't asked that question. Please don't ask my wife that question. What flows from your lips in the everyday struggles called life? I can tell you when you find a person who's fallen in love with the loving kindness of God, praise to him comes out of their lips. No matter their circumstances, Aren't you just blessed when you meet somebody and life has served them the worst of hands, and yet all you hear is how good our God is? No matter how sick they are, God is still a good God. No matter how bad things are, on their lips is praise. This morning, God reminded me of this in a little way. He convicted me, and I confessed it to some of the staff. We got here, and we turned the water off because it got so cold in the building, and over in the other building, one of the urinals stuck, and there was water everywhere. It was flowing into the hallway, and it was everywhere. And they said, there's water over there, so I'm upstairs. I'm running upstairs to get a fan, and I'm thinking, stinking urinal. Who needs a urinal anyway? You know, and I'm thinking, I got to get a fan, and I had other things that I felt like I needed to be doing, and I started to walk up the baptistry step, and the non-slick portion of it was off, and I didn't know it, and it slid out from under me, and I'm thinking, stinking step. Who needs a step anyway? And God says, are you going to preach this morning about my goodness in your life and complain about a step at a urinal? Listen, if the step's not there and the bathroom don't work, God's love is greater than all that. And I ought to be able to find, instead of talking about those things, I ought to be thankful for a building that has a urinal, right? Some of you complain about the house we live in when you ought to be thankful you have a house. And you only have it because of God's love and grace in your life. You don't deserve it. He just seen grace, given you grace for that. The psalmist says, when I think about the loving kindness of God and his love overwhelms me, I will praise him. My lips will praise him. It'd be amazing today if we really gave God praise in our circles of influence, how it could change our circles of influence, the people we work with and live with. If we talked about the goodness of God rather than the bad things of the world. All you got to do, listen, if you want to hear bad, just turn on the TV, go to the internet, whatever. Everything's bad. But I can tell you, God's loving kindness is better than all of that. And our lips ought to be filled with praise. When somebody meets one of God's kids, one of God's children, they ought to hear flowing from their lips, from their mouth, praise to God that loves them. So he says, my lips will praise you. He says in verse 4, I will lift my hands in your name. It's hard to get Baptists to lift a hand. Hello, are you out there? It's hard to get most people to lift a hand to God. But let something exciting happen in your life with the family and see what you do. Boy, you'll throw those hands up in the air. You'll do a little jig. You'll dance around. You'll have hands going everywhere. Let your son score the winning basket on a basketball team, and you'll shout hallelujah, and you'll raise both hands, and you'll do this. Then why not? For a God who sent his son, whose loving kindness is greater than life, why can't we lift our hands to him and give him praise? The psalmist says, when I am overcome with the loving kindness of God, my lips talk about him, my mouth speaks of him, my hands are lifted in his presence. Yes, we bless the Lord with our lips when we realize his loving kindness. We bless the Lord with our hands. The psalmist said, even in my thoughts, in my mind, I bless the Lord. Boy, wouldn't it be good if we could get inside people's minds and see what they were thinking from time to time. I'm so glad you can't get in this mind. Aren't you glad nobody can get in your mind, but God can? He knows your thoughts. Notice what the psalmist said when he thought about the loving kindness of God. In verse 6, he says, when I remember you upon my bed, when I'm in the bed, and when I meditate you in the night watches, when I'm thinking about you, your goodness, your love that sustains me. I think about what you've already done in my life. Can you imagine the psalmist thinking about all that God had already done? Even to make him king in the first place, nobody else picked him, but God did. And the psalmist said, I think about your loving kindness. I wished I did more of that, don't you? Don't you wish your heart and mind was so consumed with the things of God that when you lay down, when you put your head on the pillow, or whether you were up, you see, the psalmist was up in the night watches because he was watching for those who wanted to kill him, those who wanted to destroy him. And he said, in the night watches, I have to think about you, God. I wonder if he went all the way back to those days as a little shepherd boy when God was there with him. Long before he became king, when he realized that there was a God who was able to protect and sustain and to satisfy. He says, in my thoughts, I think about you. Not only did he say his lips and hands and mind, bless the Lord. He said, my soul blesses you. Verse 8, he says, my soul follows hard after you. The psalmist said, God, life to me is a pursuit to know your loving kindness. I'm seeking hard after you. I'd love to preach on that more because I don't know if you recognize this or not, but in the good old United States of America, very few people are pressing hard after God. Very few are following hard after God. They follow hard after everything else, but not after God. One of the burdens of my heart is to see young families today who've gotten so caught up in the pursuit of the things of life that they've forgotten that they ought to be following hard after God. And they're teaching their children to follow hard after everything else rather than to follow hard after God. They teach them that sports is more important, money is more important. I'm not in youth ministry, but I remember how it used to be, and I don't think it's changed much. How many parents would say to me, but Pastor Roy, you don't understand. My child needs that. My child needs that. He needs to excel at that. And God so gifted him. Yeah, but God calls him first to bless him. To be a blessing to him. I know that's not popular preaching in today's world where everybody tends to think, it's my life. Leave me alone. I'll do my own thing. Don't bother me. I just won't come. Well, you don't have to come to church, but I know one day you're going to stand before a holy God. You will have to stand before him. And whether we pursued him, followed after him, will make a difference when we stand before him. It will also make a difference in this life. The psalmist said, God, your loving kindness is better than life. Your loving kindness sustains me and it satisfies me. It is because of your loving kindness that I bless the Lord. One of my prayers is, God, be glorified in me. John Piper said this, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. How satisfied are you today with the loving kindness of God? Are you longing for more? Do you feel like you're missing out on something when you have this great love of God? I encourage you, I challenge you today to pursue God, to follow hard after God, because his loving kindness is better than life. Very few of you will remember this song. Some of you will. I could look at my audience and tell the kind of music that you like to listen to in gospel music. There was a song written a few years ago. Our choir sang it, I think, Matt, in the past. It says, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today than to be the king of a vast domain or to have all that this world affords, riches, gold, all of these things. The writer of that song evidently had come to the place where he realized that God's loving kindness, or she realized that, I don't even know who wrote the song, that God's loving kindness was better than life. And they concluded by saying this, but I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Had you rather have Jesus and the loving kindness of God? If you're here this morning and you've never experienced that grace, that love of God that sent his son to that cross, so that you could be forgiven of that sin that separates you from God. He reaches out to you today with his loving kindness to say, I love you. I love you so much that my son died so that you could have life. Life, meaningful life here in the midst of all the trouble and the struggles. I will be with you, but eternal life one day in my kingdom. And if you're here without Jesus this morning, I urge you that you would reach out to him. He says that if you will reach out to him, if you will call upon him, that he offers to you salvation as you confess your sin, as you acknowledge your need for him. He knows your heart. Reach out to him. As believers this morning, those of us who've gotten so caught up in life, we've forgotten that the meaning of life is to know God in his loving kindness and to pursue after him. Would you this morning recommit your life to a life of pursuing after God?
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.